Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ambassadors in Chains podcast. This is episode 6, and we have titled this one, "And You Shall Know the Truth." We want to come on first tonight and apologize for the amount of time that we've been off. We've had a little bit of some issues, some illness and some things like that, but we're back now and plan to get back into our weekly schedule. So, again, we apologize. And anyway, welcome
and
to...
just ask for your prayers.
Yes, definitely.
There's lots of stuff going on with kids and sickness and family things, and so we just ask for your prayers because, you know, we are... in a battle, we know that, and yep. We just are asking for you to come alongside and lift us up, and so that God will do interference and run the battle for us. Amen.
Definitely.
He won the battle already.
He did win the battle already. So anyway, but like we normally do, I'm Shane Ruther. I'm here with Dan Doctor, and this is Ambassadors in Chains.
So I'm going to just pray and kick this off. Heavenly Father, we come before you just with humble hearts, grateful hearts that we're able to get back together and do this again and spread the word. And I know this is a tough word. I'm praying that you will prepare the hearts and the minds of the people so that they can hear and receive what you have to say. It's not important, really, what I have to say, my opinion on things. I'll share my heart, what you know you put on my heart. But I want to do it in a way that honors and glorifies you and draws people to you. And so, Father, I just pray that we can speak the truth in love. And because it is a tough one, I just pray, Father, for a special dose of your Holy Spirit just to be there in both sides of the microphone and then the speakers on the other side so that people can open up their hearts and hear what you have to say, because this is a bit of a wake-up call for many. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, folks, you know, in the prayer, you probably already understand that we're going to go into some deep water, and I'm going to just ask that no children be present for this message. And so let's dive into it here. I'm going to ask you a question first off. Finish this sentence for me, if you will. "And you shall know the truth."
"And the truth shall make you free."
Yep. And so Shane finished that, and I'm sure many of you knew that true and could speak that right out. And that's from John chapter 8 and verse 32. But how many will believe that to be really true? And how many know that if it is true, then the flip side of the coin is also true? So I'm going to ask you, what is the flip side of the coin? And I'm going to just explain what I mean. I look at the word kind of, if the head of, let's say you're flipping a quarter, if heads is true, tails is also true. So sometimes it's the reverse and the opposite, but it's truth. And so the opposite of this, if you say, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, the opposite would be, you shall not know the truth, and the lie will make you a slave. Does that make sense? If the truth liberates us and makes us free, then the lie makes us slaves, right? So I'll submit one more to you. You must believe the truth when God brings it, or it cannot make you free. You still have free will, so you can choose. But if the information is presented, even truth, all day long, every day, and you choose not to believe it, then you remain a slave to the lie. Your faith in Christ Jesus is central to being free, because he is truth. And the information we're about to present you is going to be so radical and so controversial that many of you will say to yourself, dudes have gone over the deep end. Or they're just some of those conspiracy theorists, nut jobs. And some might say, well, this kind of lines up with what I see and what I understand and read in the Bible, and I need to pray about it and investigate it. And I hope you choose the latter.
Yeah, well, you know, in either case, we don't want you to just believe what we show you or tell you here. We want you to, go in and, we want your heart to be open to the information and hope that it shakes you up enough that you'll investigate it for yourselves. And that this will be because this is a life or death wake-up call. You know, be like the Bereans. Paul admonishes the Bereans in Acts 17:11. It says, "Now the Bereans were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if these teachings were true." 2 Timothy 10:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth."
Yeah, that's 2 Timothy 2:15.
Yep.
And that's a special scripture to me, as I've taught many Bible studies through the years and preached many messages. This has been a part of a lot of them. And it's because exactly what we were saying, we don't want you to believe what we say just because we say it. And you shouldn't do that with anybody. You should look into the Word yourself. And I probably already said this even on previous podcasts, but it's so important that you do the work yourself, because it's saying in there, if you study, then you can be called a workman. And the workman means you put in the work. And it says, if you are a workman, you need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you're not a workman, you can be ashamed. Again, the flip side, right? And so, and it rightly dividing the word of truth. How do you divide the word of truth? I mean, I think you're presented with so much complexity in this crazy world, and so many of the enemy's tactics are to mix in a lie with the truth, that many people that are not studied identify with the little bit of truth in a sentence or expression or a dogma, and they just accept the lie because they don't have the depth of knowledge, they don't understand, and they're not consulting the Holy Spirit in the examination of the word that's being spoken. So do the work. Get into the Bible. Look at it yourself. See, one of the reasons we're bringing this kind of word is because we're watchmen. In Ezekiel 33:6, it says this: but if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. It goes on to explain conversely that if the watchman sees the enemy coming and it blows the horn and the people choose to ignore the warning and remain asleep, then their blood is on their own head. So really, the watchman's got a job to do, and he's supposed to be looking at when the enemy's coming. This is, you know, a very real scenario from days of old. The watchman was up on the walls of the city, and if an enemy was coming, they'd blow the horn. They'd warn the people, hey, get up, an enemy's coming. And if the watchman wasn't doing his job, sleeping on the job, or just chose not to give the warning, then the blood of the people that were taken by the enemy is required of the watchman's head, because he has got a job to do. And so the very same scenario is very applicable today, because we are at war. A lot of people don't even know we're at war. We are at war. We're on the brink of nuclear destruction. And not just that. I mean, it's a full-on attack against the family, against freedom, against rights, against Christianity, and against even our children. And so we got to wake up, and we got to fight this war, engage this war on a spiritual plane. And this warning that we're giving is every bit as real as the scenario that we talked about with the watchman on the wall.
You know, this talking about the warnings and the watchman on the wall blowing their trumpets whenever there was danger coming, it reminds me of a story I heard a week or two ago. It was about these kids. They'd gone to some kind of festival over in New Zealand, and on the way home, this girl that was with the group, there's like 8 or 10 of them, something like that. And this girl had heard of this swimming hole that was part of this river that had been dammed up years and years ago. And, but she had told her friends about the swimming hole, and they'd been out there like, I don't know, a week or two before. So she took her friends out there to show them where the swimming hole was. And when they got there, it was gorgeous. They loved it. It was awesome. And it was this nice little, you know, place to hang out and swim. But while they were there, they heard this siren blow, like really loud. And they all stopped and looked at each other and were like, what was that? You know, and never did figure out what it was. And they went on down to the swimming hole, and they kept on swimming. They heard it blow again. Anyway, they heard it blow, ended up hearing it blow like 3 times while there's this really loud, piercing siren that was blowing like 3 times. And they never did understand what it was coming from, but what it was coming from was this. They would, a couple, 2 or 3 times a day on this particular river, they would open up the floodgates on this dam and release all this water. It was some insane amount of water, but they would do it for like... as a spectacle, just to show tourists and people like that what the river looked like before it was dammed. They would let all this water rush down through there. And these kids had no idea, but that's what the siren was to warn them. And some of them got out, but there were 2 that passed away. They died. They were washed away down the river. And
ignored the warning.
They ignored that warning. They didn't know what it was. They didn't pay attention. They didn't read the signs and you know that were posted out there, and they died because of it. And yeah. I mean, there's, you know, just like what Dan was just talking about, there's signs that are out there. There are ways to know what, you know, when the sirens go off, you know, what that means if you study and look into, you know, don't just sit around and not know what's going on in the world, but really dig into the scripture, look into what other people are saying, you know, and kind of like what we're talking about, and follow up on what we're telling you and things like that. And you can learn what those warnings mean. So,
yeah, that's a really good illustration and very appropriate to the subject matter at hand here.
Yeah. You know, what we're about to present to you is really such a terrible revelation that many of you will reject most of what we say because you've been programmed to reject the truth, not programmed by God or true Christian teaching, but programmed by the mainstream media, the news, the culture, the government, the education system, medical community, the CDC, the WHO, the UN, and the World Economic Forum, social media, and even churches. You know, there's a, I saw not too long ago, I saw a statement that came out from the UN that talked about, they actually came out and said for people to disregard conspiracy theories, that it was not good to listen to conspiracy theories, that all that did was cause problems and that you should ignore them. You should,
yeah.
And of course, there are a lot of even the word conspiracy theory itself has gotten a really bad rap. I mean, it really is. If you break it down, it's a theory about a conspiracy. But a lot of conspiracies have gotten crazy, and people don't listen to, you know, the really, you know, crazy ones. But some of them are real. Some of them are true conspiracies, and should be paid attention to. But the UN itself came out and said, you shouldn't listen to conspiracy theories across the board.
And brothers and sisters, just strap up, because it won't be long at all before what we're doing right now is going to be considered illegal. They're already trying to qualify it as hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that challenges their narrative that they're trying to put down in their version of the truth. For example, you know, I've talked about political correctness. Political correctness is a lie, but it's dressed up as truth.
Yep.
And so, you know, they're going to say anyone who speaks against that's hate speech, that's violence, and all of that nonsense. Right. And really, that's projection. They're trying to cast upon people that just want to speak the truth in love, that they're doing just the opposite, doing what they're doing.
Right.
Right?
Right. You know, and it's funny to me that why would the UN say that? What would be the point of them saying, don't listen to conspiracy theories? I'm telling you, you shouldn't listen to conspiracy theories. They're bad, they're wrong, they're all lies, and you shouldn't listen to them. That's because they don't want you to know what a lot of those theories say. But, you know, we've been lied. They don't
want their dirty laundry being aired.
Exactly. You know, we've been lied to on a much grander scale than we've ever imagined possible. As I speak the truth, God revealed to me, expressions like conspiracy theory will creep into your mind and make it easy for you to dismiss the truth and languish a little longer in the lie.
And Snopes, along with the most popular fact checkers, are really just Rothschild disinformation sources. Google and YouTube will not tell you the truth. And the sole purpose of these wolves in sheep's clothing is to call the truth a lie and spin you back to the narrative that they want you to believe.
Yep.
In fact, they become the greatest censors of truth in the modern world. We're living in a time where politically correct corporations have become so powerful and so arrogant that they consider themselves to be the arbiters of truth. In fact, the term conspiracy theory itself that Shane was just talking about is a mind control term that was created by the CIA.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate the term itself because it has such a stigma involved with it. It makes people automatically think, lie, that's stupid, that's just some crazy stuff that people came up with. When they hear the words conspiracy theory, that's exactly what they think. They think tinfoil hats and, you know, just, you know, UFOs and aliens and stuff that don't matter. That's not, though, what a lot of that, what a theory of a conspiracy actually is.
Right.
But anyway.
And political correctness, which I talked about a minute ago, God has actually given me a definition for that, and it is the appearance of what is right minus truth.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about that a little deeper, the political correctness being the appearance of what is right minus truth. That's really meaning it's a lie dressed up as truth. And so it can actually be the weapon that the enemy is going to use to beat the snot out of the church. And it's already happening. And so our Father, Father God, is he's actually given us his holy word to be the arbiter of truth.
That's right.
And many of you, I hope, amen on that. Mm-hmm. I mean, God's word is truth. And it says in there that let every man be considered a liar. His word is truth forever.
Yep.
And it says we'll have to dig deeper to know truth. We have to dig in. We have to do our work. We have to do that 2 Timothy 2:15 thing. So we're at war.
Yep. You know what? Real quick, you know what makes me think of when we're the stuff we're talking about here is, you know, if you're going to become, if you're going to join the Marines or the Army or whatever branch of service, are you going to go straight into battle?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to do that? I mean, are you
going to spend some time in boot camp?
You're going to spend some time in boot camp. You're going to spend some time learning. And so right now, as you sit, if you don't know the truth about the things that are being talked about out there by Christians, maybe it's time you spend a little time in boot camp, you know, learning.
And I went through boot camp. I was a Navy and rescue diver many, many years ago. And what that, you know, a rescue swimmer really is the term that it was. But I was also an engineman and, you know, I got to do a lot in the military. However, boot camp was a prerequisite because you learn the chain of command. You learn the strategies of war. You learn how to obey general orders and, you know, you got to have all of that knowledge under your belt to be able to engage the enemy. You got to know what they're up to, what they think, what their tactics are, how to obey orders. All that stuff's important. You learn that in boot camp. And so a lot of times when I'm teaching, it's the illustration I give them that, hey, you're in boot camp. Because once you get out of these walls, you know, and make it through this program, the war isn't over. The war is really, you're just beginning to engage it for real.
Yeah.
And speaking of war, though, I want you to understand this. In 2 Corinthians 10 and chapter 10 and verse 3, it says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ." Bringing into captivity every thought. That's radical obedience. We are in a spiritual war, and that's spilling into this physical realm now. And yes, we're trying to wake people up. And no, we're not calling you to violence or any such reaction. Right?
That's right. Yep. I mean, that's that could be misconstrued, you know, but that's not what we're telling people to do, to pick up your arms and your weapons and get out there and
This is about getting on your knees, man. Humble your heart. Check yourself. See what sin you might have. If you're entertaining some pet sin in your life and you haven't asked God, because the Bible says even our own hearts can be deceiving and hide from us the things that we need to come before God. So we have to ask him. He's all through the word. He's the examiner of the heart. And the word is an examiner of the heart and the discerner of the heart of men. And so we're supposed to go to God and ask him, "Lord, is there anything in my heart that I'm not dealing with? Let me be totally open. Is there anything that I'm, like some private room that I'm keeping closed and I'm not letting you go in? You get the key to every room in my house.
Come in
and clean it out."
You know, a lot of times too, also we'll in our own minds, you know, in the back of our minds, we'll convince ourselves to, you know, the reason that we're sinning, we'll make up excuses for ourselves in our minds. We'll say, "Well, I'm just doing that because of, you know, the way I was treated or the way I grew up or the way I," you know, things like we'll come up with excuses for our sin. You know, we'll try to talk ourselves through it so we can continue to live in that carnal life that we want to live in.
Yeah, it's easy to justify and it's easy to rationalize. And what'll happen is you'll end up getting hard heart.
Yep.
You know, and you'll have a better root. And what happens also is this sin. Let's say you're living in a really rough neighborhood and you decide that, you know, when you're going to sleep at night, you're just going to leave the door cracked open a little bit. Would that be okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be okay?
Leave the door cracked just a hair.
It's okay, huh?
No.
No.
It's not.
Jerk. All right. So, and why is it not, Shane?
Oh, anybody could just come right in. They right. just push the door open and they're on you.
So, and it's like that with sin. If you've got some little sin, I think of it in Songs of Solomon. It talks about these little foxes. And I've had a whole hour Bible study just on that, the Songs of Solomon. But it, just on this one little verse, it says that consider the little foxes that, you know, left unattended, they will not only eat the grapes, but they'll spoil the vine. And that is a picture of our little pet sins. Not only will they eat the fruit of your life, but they'll ruin the ability for you to produce fruit. And so you've got to check yourself, and you got to go into warfare with that type of mindset. So in Matthew 24, let me take you there. It says this, some of the apostles are walking with Jesus, and as they pass the temple, they ask him to consider the beauty of it. Does anyone remember his response? He says, you know, there won't be one stone left upon another. It's all right. Going to come down, basically, right?
That's right.
So I want to tell you this story. In Matthew 24, it's been profound in my life. That is one of the central chapters of the God's Word that's spoken to me many times and in many ways. And there's this one time I had taken a trip, and I ended up going to St. Louis. I was going to audit one of our suppliers. And it was just a bizarre set of circumstances, and through so much chains of miracles that God had brought me down from Detroit and a recession, and gave us a good job, got us our house sold just in time, and we got a more beautiful place. God really took care of us, and I was just so grateful. My heart was soaring. And so I wanted to just dedicate this trip. We should dedicate every trip, but I'll be honest with you, I haven't. But this one I did. And I just asked God, you know, just give me opportunities, divine appointments, ability to talk to people about you. And so I just wanted to give him glory and hear his voice and commune with God on this trip. So I had a two-hour ride from the time I landed until to get out to where I was going to go. And I was praying as I got in this car. They upgraded me to a little Mustang. So I got a little Mustang for like $5 extra. I'm like, cool, yeah, I'll take it. Yeah. And as I'm getting on the freeway, I was praying, Lord, just give me someone to take this ride with that I can talk with about you. You know, I didn't know if it was somebody I just needed to hear and be encouraged, or somebody that we could have a mutual conversation that knew him already. But anyway, as soon as I got on the freeway, I was on the left-hand side, and I was entering, because it was like downtown, entering the freeway and turning left, I saw on the opposite side of the road a man standing out there with his thumb up, and he had three big bags, like Navy duffel bags, two big Navy P bags and one big red bag. And he had his thumb out, and on his shirt was just written the name Jesus in big, big letters. So I'm like, wow, I can take a hint. Okay, I'm gonna pull over and pick this guy up. So as I did, he runs up to the door, and he's an older gentleman, probably, you know, 15 to 20 years older than I was. And he had said, you know, hey, you're picking up the Poet of the Highways. And I'm like, really? And I said, is your poetry, what's on your shirt? And he says, oh, he looks like down, like he'd forgotten what shirt he has on. And he says, yes, as a matter of fact, it is. That's all it's about. And I said, well, climb on in. You can tell me all that you want, because that's what I'm about. You know, so we had the most amazing conversation. This dude was one of the most biblically literate, amazing, deep and detailed people I've ever spoken with. I mean, he was, the conversation was just off the charts, and it made 2 hours go by just like 10 minutes. So, you know, at the end, you know, we went in, and there was this big open parking lot, a truck stop, but there was no trucks there and no cars there either. It was like empty. It was only about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so I guess not prime time there or whatever. And it was kind of like cornfields or soybeans, rather, all around. Soybeans was growing off in the distance, but a huge trucking place with nobody there. So we pull in, we go to eat, and then while we're sitting there, there's these two truckers, and they're off to the side, and they're talking about Jesus. I heard the name of the Lord come up, and he just, like, his antenna went up and made a beeline over there and started sharing all his poetry with them. So I sat down, waited. It was almost a half hour. He came, sat down with me, and we ate our food. And by the time we got done, it was like, you know, we were parting company. He was going a different direction. So we prayed, and just, man, thank God for the guy. And, you know, it was just so amazing to meet someone like that. But, you know, he blessed my family, blessed me, and he just, it was just one of the most highlight memories of an encounter meeting that was an answer to prayer that I can remember. But the weird thing was we got all his bags out, set them down behind the car, and they're heavy, you know, three big heavy duffel bags. And I jump in the car and I fire it up and I turn to look, and because I want to make sure I don't run over my new friend. I don't see him, so I'm figuring, I mean, he might be bending over picking up his bags, and I didn't see him. So I jumped out of the car and made sure he didn't fall over or something, and he was gone, and the bags were gone. And there was no way that he could go, nowhere to go to. He didn't go back in the restaurant. He was nowhere. He just evaporated.
It's crazy.
And when, you know, I remember him even asking me questions like, you know, how do you know the Bible says that you'll entertain angels unaware? And I'm like, yeah. I said, yeah, I read that before, and it's in Hebrews. And he goes, how do you know, though? And I said, well, you don't. Otherwise, you wouldn't be unaware, right? And he goes, well, the angels, you know, it's the blood. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, angels don't have blood. They're spiritual beings. And I'm like, oh, wow. Huh. That was deep. Okay. And but then I'd have to stick one to know, so I probably still won't find out.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one thing that he said to me that was, that he said, if in this conversation you forget everything we talked about, there's one thing I want you to remember, and that was the parable of the fig tree. And the parable of the fig tree, and he put it into a poem, but it's right out of Matthew 24 that there's this, you know, Matthew 24 talks about all these things that are going to happen, wars and rumors of wars, famines and pestilence in diverse places and earthquakes, and all these are the beginnings of birth pains. And, you know, then it says you'll be given up and persecuted for my name's sake. Many would be persecuted and many would be put to death for my name's sake. And to him that overcomes, I'll give to eat from the tree of life. And at the end of Matthew 24, it says, consider the parable of the fig tree. And it says, when you see all these things happen, when you see the tree send forth its tender shoots, you know that summer's near. So also when you see all these things happen, you'll know that the end is near and the second coming of the Son of Man. And so I just got to ask myself, you know, why would the Father God send me an angel to tell me about the extreme importance of the parable of the fig tree if that was not relevant in my lifetime?
Yep. I could understand that. That's a pretty awesome story. So you're pretty sure he was an angel, huh?
Oh, I have no doubt. I mean, like I said, he's just gone. There's nowhere he could go. And the guy's entire conversation was completely holy. And he knew the word inside out. He was an answer to prayer in the first place. And then gone, and there's no way he could go. So
wow.
Yeah, I believe the Bible absolutely, it says in Hebrews that entertain people in your homes, mm-hmm. and to be hospitable, because some entertain angels unaware.
Yeah.
So, you know, I take that to believe everything that God's word says is truth. So yeah, he sent me an angel. I have no doubt.
Wow, that's really a cool story. That's awesome. So it's kind of hard to go from that one. That's pretty good. Okay, we're gonna get right to it here and walk through the truth and some of the facts that God has brought to our eyes, biblically and historically. You know, afterward we'll present some sources where we get some of our information, and it's kind of up to you to do your own homework. So,
amen.
Yeah. This is what God wants to tell you. Listen, COVID-19 is a demonically inspired biological weapon released on humanity by Luciferians. You know, things like what they say about Freemasons, the Illuminati is real. You can look it up and see its beginnings. You can see, you know, it's not just things you see on YouTube. There are really true beginnings to the Illuminati that you can look up. Yep. We'll talk about that more later. But this is also being done in order to usher in the transhumanism agenda. I don't know if any of you know much about the transhumanism agenda, but it's coming. It's coming like a freight train.
And it's basically when you're wired into the web.
Yeah.
You're part computer, you're
physically
part human.
Like in your mind, like actual computer parts in you.
Yeah. And the technology's here.
Yeah, it's here. That's probably been here, actually. But it's set up to facilitate the death of the majority of mankind through this evil. You know, wicked genetic modification therapy disguised and marketed as a vaccine. You know,
and please hear our hearts about this. As someone just said in their spirit, oh no, not more talk about the vaccines. I'm sick of hearing about it. Listen, brothers and sisters, this is the most important topic of our entire lifetime. And we're really, as far as problems facing society and the world as a whole, we really need to talk about it. So we implore you to listen with an open mind and an open heart.
You know, and even Dan and I had to kind of ourselves go, gosh, you know, should we, you know, because that's exactly what's happening. If you look around you right now, the topic of vaccines, the topic of COVID and things like that have kind of disappeared. They've kind of pushed it down. That's by design. They've pushed that thing out, so it's not such a... They don't want you talking about it that much. They don't want you to learn all the little truths.
But they're not done. Vaccines rolled out. They got the next five vaccines and fake plagues all lined up release on humanity so they can continue to work this evil agenda.
Manufactured plagues. Manufactured vaccines to go with those plagues.
That's right. But before we go any further, as I've said before, I want to be clear. And I know some of you have already taken the shot, and we are not condemning you for doing that.
No.
I know that there's so much out there that they're trying to convince you that people haven't taken the shot or somehow violent or anti-vaccine, you know, or towards people. And that is, I've never seen that to be true. I don't know anybody that's unvaccinated that's hating on people that have been, but rather we're just praying for people, and we want to wake people up so they don't continue to do this. Every time they put it in their body, their immune system's reduced by 33%.
Yep, that's a fact.
So we want to pray for you right now. If you've taken the shot, I just want to pray against this witchcraft because it's pharmakia in the Greek, which that literal word is witchcraft and sorcery. And that's where we get our modern word pharmacy.
Yep.
But it's no match for the blood of Jesus. So we're going to ask Father God, Yahweh, in the name of Yeshua, to heal you. Amen. Right now?
Amen.
So let's pray.
Okay.
Lord, I just thank you for every open ear. And I think there's some heavy hearts out there that have maybe heard enough to prick their heart. And they don't want to receive the consequences for this vaccine. And it was so popular and so much deception about it, and that the world wasn't going to go back to normal unless they did it. And many people were threatened with loss of their jobs and their careers and have been deceived. And so, Father, right now, for every repentant heart, and brothers and sisters, it's got to be repentant. You have to actually tell God you're sorry. And that means you're not going to do it again. But for every repentant heart, Lord, I just pray that you minister unto them, and we take authority over this witchcraft, and we cancel its power. We cancel every evil attachment, every spiritual attachment to it, and every assignment of the enemy on the brothers and sisters who have taken it and on their children. And Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over them. And we pray that you give them ingenious ways, and you bring forth more and more people that are inspired, that are truthful about medicine, of ways that they can, you know, rebuild their body and rebuild their immune system and purge this from them. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, many out there, including most of our pastors, will not teach the truth regarding this.
Yeah, because they're afraid that it may offend somebody, or that they might lose their tax-exempt status because they made a deal with the government.
Exactly.
And they got a 501c3 or 401c3, and so it's hands off of these political hot topics, and that's binding the hands of the church and compromising the Word of God. That's we can't do that.
No. You know, and it's not our intent to offend anyone, but it is our intent to, you know, preach the truth to you in love. You know, but we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but this is a hard truth. It's going to sting a bit, and it may, you know, maybe be a little difficult to swallow. You know, if you haven't been investigating this, you know, all of this was done in order to achieve the ultimate goal of the New World Order, a one world government and a one world currency, a one world religion in which the Antichrist will arise and proclaim himself Lord. All of that is foretold in the Bible, all of it. And we are chosen. We are a chosen generation, are the chosen generation. I can't spit that out. We are the chosen generation for such a time as this.
And that expression actually is something that comes from the book of Esther. And yep. I'll just paraphrase the story real quickly. There was a king, his name was Ahasuerus, and he had a wife named Vashti, and they were having a big banquet, and his wife was extremely beautiful, and he wanted to just kind of brag on his wife and show off her beauty to all these people that were with him. And so he called for Vashti to come and present herself, and she said no. Because, yeah, you're going out there with your drunk friends and parading around in front of them. So that really is a big offense against the king and embarrassed him. So his counselors said, you know, you need to put her away and get a wife that will be obedient to you and will, you know, come when you call her. And so they put out a contest, if you will, and looking at all the beautiful young women that were available and presenting them. And so there was this guy named Mordecai who's Jewish, and he had a niece that her parents had died, and he was raising this niece. Her name was Hadassah, but she would be renamed Esther to hide her Jewishness. She would be presented to the king, and basically, you know, there's this evil guy named Haman who was the right-hand man to the king. He was like a snake, you know, giving all this vile advice to the king, and he hated Jewish people. He was an anti-Semite from the beginning, and all that is demonic. In every society and through all time, including today, anti-Semitism is absolutely unbiblical, and it is a sad truth that probably 90% of our churches in America teach something that is anti-Semitic in form, and it's that the replacement theology. The Jewish people have somehow lost their place with God. And that is absolutely untrue. Yeah. Jesus was born into a Jewish community. God chose the Jews, and he knew that they would reject him. And so that part is part of the plan from the beginning. And Jewish people don't get an automatic pass into heaven either. They need a savior. So they need to come back to Christ Jesus as Lord, because he's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the fulfillment of all the Old Testament Jewish scripture that pointed to the Messiah to come. And that's why his name and title is Yeshua, Jesus, Mashiach, Messiah. So anyway, you know, Haman hated Mordecai, especially because when he had, you know, had his little pomp and parade, you know, that Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him, because Mordecai didn't bow down to him, and he bowed down to God. Anyhow, he was picked out of the crowd right away. But Mordecai had also done some favors for the king and told him of an assassination plot on his life earlier on and saved the king's life. So what happened with Esther is that she got chosen. She would be the king's wife. And when this plot to kill all the Jews unfolded by Haman, to not only get Mordecai, but all Jewish people, then it came to the attention of Mordecai, and he got message to Esther, and he said, hey, look, you got to go tell the king, you know, about this evil plot. You got to speak up on her behalf. And at first she was resistant to that. And she's like, you know, if I go before the king and I'm not called, then it could be off with my head. They can take my life, you know. And he says, you know, God can send a savior from anywhere he chose, but who knows if you weren't chose for such a time as this. So that goes right back to what Shane said, for such a time as this. We are chosen for such a time as this. So don't be scared. Don't be scared to go before the king. Okay. Don't be scared to stand up in the gap. Don't be scared to raise your voice. Don't be scared to tell the truth. Don't be scared to do some investigation. Don't be scared, even if your family is going to reject it, or if people around you are going to reject it, or if they're going to fire you from your job for doing it, or if the government is weaponized and they come after you for doing it. Don't be scared. Stand up and tell the truth while you have an opportunity to.
Yep.
Because all this life is just a wisp of smoke. And who knows if you weren't chosen for such a time as this.
That's right.
So Shane and I, we're risking it all in obedience to Christ Jesus to wake up the saints from this great deception. And we ask that you study the scriptures. And the prophecy of these end time events are found in many places in the Bible, and I'll give you a few of them if you want to write them down or pause it and come back to this later, mark this time on the tape. It's Daniel chapter 2, verses 43 through 45, and also in Daniel 7 and 23, Matthew 24, of course, which we just talked about, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, and Revelation chapter 13, 1 through 18, and Revelation 14, verses 19 through 12. That's just a few, just some 12. Things to study and look up.
9 through 12.
Oh.
You said 19.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, okay.
That's all right. Revelation 14, 9 through 12. So
the facts about COVID-19 is it's an acronym. One of the easiest facts to find out is it's an acronym. Mm-hmm. And what it stands for is Certificate of Vaccine Identification 2019. Think about that for a minute. And the very acronym that they invented for the alleged disease is the revelation of that plan that they have to get everyone a certificate of vaccination. So, you know, in UK and Israel and in Australia, they pretty much almost become slave states already. And they're so highly vaccinated. These are the three most highly vaccinated countries in the world, and they also have the highest percent of COVID deaths and repeat COVID cases. They're really experimental shot-related deaths. But they control the message to the public because it's part of their wicked plan. And we simply must wake people up and unite in prayer against this evil plot because people are dying. Yep. And now I'm watched, like Ann We Know is one of the programs I'll watch, and SGT Report and some others, and they'll show on there almost a daily, you know, of people dying. Yesterday on Stu Peter's show, I saw 100 deaths in 10 days. They were videoed on video. 100 deaths in the last 10 days.
Wow.
All related to the shot. And a lot of these people are looking up in the sky, and they put their right hand up and spin a backwards left circle, fall backwards, and die.
Yeah.
And it's as if they're looking, you know, at something in another dimension. And they're freaked out, fear on their face, a couple spins, and then almost died suddenly.
Did I send you a thing on that too? They look over their left shoulder and they're seeing. So you didn't see that?
I did see it, but I don't think you sent it to me. I just happened to watch it on Stu Peters the other day.
Okay. Well, Chelsea, my wife, she had sent me one. It was similar to what you're talking about. It showed people. There was probably eight different ones that they showed in different parts of the country where you'd see the person would start looking over their left shoulder like they saw something, mm-hmm. and then they would just fall into like a seizure and just start seizing. And people would be like, well, what's going on? You know, they just, mm-hmm. but it was weird that they would look over their shoulder like something was coming up behind them. It was so weird.
That, in my mind, what I was seeing is that, you know, in the moments before their death, they could see demons.
Yeah.
They could see, you know, that they're facing their eternity.
Yeah. Well, you know, this was planned and patented long before it was released on humanity. You know, there were practice events held where all these things were going through. All the things we're going through now for the past 2.5 years were conducted, practiced, rehearsed, and video recorded way back in 2016. You know, sponsored by the World Economic Forum.
Yeah, and I've seen some of those videos.
Have you?
Sure.
Yeah. You know, patents have been pulled for the disease before it was even released on humanity. I mean, how do you patent a disease in the first place unless it's man-made? Patented in advance before we even know there's a disease. You know, these things should make us sit up and take notice.
Yeah, amen. The enemies tip their hands sometimes, you know, and he shows us what they intend to do in advance. And sadly, the church, the one true church, the body of Christ Jesus, largely remains asleep. We're only seeing the beginning of some of the few that are waking up. So what is the agenda that they're revealing, and how? Let me first take you to the Georgia Guidestones, which are no more. We talked about it a little in another broadcast, but they've been destroyed.
Yep.
And I believe that they destroyed them themselves. because it was just too fishy, the whole thing where they, you know. But first of all, what were the Georgia Guidestones? They were a monolithic structure, kind of like a Stonehenge or Easter Island figures, you know, large granite plates that were set up on end.
Yep.
And in four different plates, and then a plate in the middle, and then a plate that went across the top. And on the outside, plates written in every major language of the world, in eight different languages spoken by the most people, were the Satanic Ten Commandments. And so this was something that was put up. There's just no doubt in my mind. This was put up by the Luciferians. This was put up by the Freemasonry.
Yeah. You know, that's something you and I talked about last time you brought up the Georgia Guidestones. You'd said something about the Satanic Ten Commandments. And when you said it, I was like, what? Satanic Ten Commandments? I've never heard that. You know, I said it to myself. I was like, where'd Dan get that? You know, I never heard that before. You know, and I went and researched it myself. And he's 100% right. They are the Satanic Ten Commandments. You can go look it up yourself. And everything that was written on the Georgia Guidestones and all those languages were the Satanic Ten Commandments. They have them. They exist. So go look up Satanic Ten Commandments on Google, and you'll find exactly what was written on the Georgia Guidestones.
Yeah, you can still see pictures of the Georgia Guidestones. I've got them even in the presentation that I put together.
Yeah.
So they're attached here, that maybe we'll find a way to get that out.
That's so creepy.
Yeah, the very first one is maintain the population of the world at 500 million.
Was it?
Yep, the very first one. And that... right there, that statement is what they're engaged in right now through this vaccine effort. It not only does, you know, all types of vile things. I watched a show just the other day where it's saying 85% of the people whose bodies are being embalmed, they're finding these blood clots in their aorta. That's feet long, several feet long blood clots coming out of people. It's the morticians are putting it out there, an increase in mortality by over 40%. They can't make enough caskets. All of a sudden, all this stuff's being played down in the mainstream media. They don't want everybody talking about it. They don't want you to know about this stuff. They want to keep you in the dark. They want to keep you ignorant. They want to try and play it off like it's not related. And there's even a movie. I want you guys to pay attention to this. Coming up in November, there's a movie coming out called Died Suddenly. And I'll introduce that a little more later, but just put that as a mental marker in your mind. Died Suddenly. We want to find that movie in November.
Well, going back to what you just said a minute ago, to maintain the population at what, would you say?
500
million. 500 million. So right now, I just looked it up. The population of the world, as of 2020 was 7.753 billion people.
Right. That means 95% of the entire population of the world has to die to achieve that goal.
Oh my gosh. That is just frightening.
Yeah. And like I said, brothers and sisters, we're at war.
Yes, we are.
It's definitely time to wake up.
It is time to wake up to this. This is extremely important. You know, little introduction here to a man named Klaus Schwab. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him. He's the founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum. That was a Henry Kissinger idea. You will own nothing and be happy about it. That's a quote from Charles Schwab. Yeah. No, not from Charles Schwab, from Klaus Schwab. Let's see. There's Anthony P. Mueller. He's a professor of economics, warns that the main thrust of the forum is global control. Free markets and individual choice do not stand as top values, but state interventionalism and collectivism, individual liberty, and private property are to disappear from this planet by 2030. That's called Agenda 2030.
That's right.
But, I mean, think about that for a minute. Individual liberty, and private property are to disappear from this planet by 2030.
Will own nothing and be happy. That's what he says.
Creepy, scary, and
Nazi.
Not okay with that at all. So his books, The Fourth Industrial Revolution 2016 and COVID-19 and the Great Reset, July 2019.
That's when it came out, right?
Yeah, July 2019. Basically, those books outline the entire agenda in advance for the New World Order. A one world government, one world currency, a great reset.
That's what they call it, the great reset.
From which one world ruler, quote, the Antichrist, will emerge.
Right, and so, his little henchman, his little Igor, that's by his side, is a guy named Yuval Noah Harari.
Yes.
And he's a top advisor to Klaus Schwab and to the economic, the World Economic Forum. Yep. You can find him on YouTube making a lot of infamous statements like humans are hackable now and you should get used to the idea being part of the transhuman system, and ideas like freedom, individual choice, and free will are things of the past.
Yeah.
This guy is working the agenda of Satan. And, but the bad thing is that world leaders, including current leaders of our country, are many elitists, you know, Hollywood especially, are all listening to his ideas. World leaders, including ours, believe him to be the prophet. And he's telling them what the future will be. Some of his other quotes are, human history began when humans invented gods and ends when humans become God. So they believe this transhumanism is a way to immortality, or at least that's they're espousing that or professing it. And another thing he says is the idea of humans having a soul, free will, or doing what we want is over because humans are now hackable animals. And that's talking about the idea of the nanotechnology and the shots. So yes, there is nanotechnology in the shots. There is graphene oxide in the shots. The science is out there. There's people that will prove it to you that you can actually see under certain frequencies that this stuff assembling circuitry inside of the blood. So today we have the technical, or here's another quote. He says, today we have the technical ability to start redesigning humanity, a new sexuality, messing with the human body and with human biology. And then one of his other most infamous quotes saying that this will be the last generations of true humans on Earth.
Yep.
So this is where they're going.
Yep. They want to turn us all into half robots.
Well, you know, I can't help but go back to what Jesus was saying when he said, just like it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the second coming of the Son of Man. So what was happening in the days of Noah?
Well, there was the Nephilim on the planet back then, which were a hybrid.
Right.
They were the watchers.
Messed with the DNA of the human race.
That's right. The fallen angels had taken wives, and it says in the Bible that they found the human women attractive and beautiful, and they took them as their wives and knew them. Mm-hmm. You know, meaning had sex with them.
Right.
And
that's like Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and brought forth the son. Right.
That's right. And they birthed this race of beings called the Nephilim. The Nephilim, they were giants. They were, but they were a mix of human and the Watchers, the fallen angels.
And this bastard race was unredeemable.
That's right.
It was considered giants in the land. They were men of renown. And if you really want to find some detail on it, you can go to the Book of Enoch.
That's right.
Not Second Enoch or Third Enoch. Those are Gnostic Gospels. But First Enoch.
First Enoch. That's right.
And you can find that this writing has been preserved even through the Dead Sea Scrolls and was found in the caves of Qumran and is also kept by the Ethiopians through the years. And so this is a legitimate book that many biblical authorities have considered scripture all through. It's just the Catholic Church would not let it be in the canon.
That's right.
So it was not canonized. And even God works through that because I think it was also a book that was preserved for this time. Because there's so much end times explanation of what's going on, what happened, and how it relates to what we're doing now.
Yeah, it does. You know, some of the evidence of this wicked plan for the global reset and the push for massive decrease in human population is, and some of this is, you guys, some of this is written. I'm going to have to try to get through it, so don't laugh at me if I stumble over some of these words. But they're making legitimate and proven therapeutics illegal in the U.S. and many other countries of the world. hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, monoclonal antibodies. The monoclonal antibodies are taken from the venom of snakes.
Yeah, that's anti-venom.
Anti-venom, right. The facts on hydroxychloroquine is one of the most trusted drugs. It was on the world's most trusted drug list for humans for over 40 years. 40 years it was on the most trusted drug list.
Nobel Prize winning drug.
Yep. Developed as an anti-malaria drug. They used it in Vietnam for the mosquitoes were biting the soldiers and causing malaria, so they were giving them hydroxychloroquine to combat that, and it worked great. They used it through the whole war.
Right.
It was fine. There was no problem with it. Now, all of a sudden, you know, it has no known negative side effects. It's incredibly effective to combat and eliminate COVID.
Got me through it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, same here.
I went to the doc and I just told him when it came around the first time, I had already got it, already revealed this to me.
Yeah.
And I believed it and I prayed about it. And I said, look, I want HCQ and I want the Z-Pack and I'll buy the zinc over the counter. And he was like, how'd you know that? He goes, I gave that to my dad 2 weeks ago and he got better in 2 days.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And it was about 2-3 days for my wife and I. And we got through that with that prescription and got better.
My dad,
praise Jesus.
My dad, 85 years old, had gotten COVID, and I was terrified. I thought we were going to lose him. As soon as we heard that he had it, I was like, "Oh my gosh!" And he would, and my mom had taken him to the hospital, which I begged her not to do, but they did, and I finally convinced him to give him ivermectin, and there was something else too. I can't remember what else, but it was along with the zinc and some of the other things we gave him, and he came through. He pulled through it. And he was fine, and you know. Some of the facts on ivermectin.
But wait a minute. How is it that the media and the so-called medical community considers it dangerous or unproven or irresponsible to use HCQ?
Yeah.
I mean, just because Trump used it, all of a sudden the whole thing is poison.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. They just don't want you to.
There's
it's not on part of their agenda.
Something stinky about that.
They want this thing to kill everybody, so it's not part of their stinky agenda, so they call it evil, call it no good.
Right.
You know, here's some facts on ivermectin. You know, according to the National Library of Medicine, a multifaceted drug, Nobel Prize honored distinction, with indicated efficacy against a new global scourge, COVID-19, almost no negative side effects. No negative side effects. How effective is it really?
Well, in a country called a province, actually, of Uttar Pradesh in India, there's 241 million people in that province. That's only 10 million less than the population of the entire United States. And the province government had administered ivermectin to its population against the advice of the WHO, and literally defeated COVID-19 and reduced it to only 0.07% of the population. That's complete annihilation.
Yeah.
And this is completely on an unvaccinated province.
Right.
No vaccines. And because they were very sensitive because of the previous experimentation and massive death of Bill Gates' inoculation program that had taken there 10 years earlier.
Isn't he the main one behind the WHO?
He's one of the main guys, funding wise, and you'll see. We'll talk more about that in a minute.
Yeah. But you know, the purpose and coordinated media response of outright lies claiming ivermectin is merely horse dewormer. You know, that's what they said about it, or that it causes overdoses and hospitalizations. All that's proven absolutely false.
I saw the stories, and the stories went out saying, you know, that these people are overdosing. There's a hospital in Oklahoma, they named the county, and they said that that's absolutely filled with people that are overdosing on ivermectin.
Yeah.
And so then the hospital found out about this claim and put out a public notice. We've never had an overdose from ivermectin. We don't have anyone in this hospital that has overdosed from ivermectin. And do you think there was any retraction on the story?
Oh, no.
No apologies, no retraction. They just let it ride.
Yep. Yep, of course.
Once they get the lie out there, they just want to let it marinate in people's minds.
Yep, because some of the people, when they hear it, they believe it, and then they never hear the retraction, or, well, there's no retraction, but they never hear the truth of it that comes out. They just hear what they originally heard, and they stick with that because that's what they want to believe, and then that's what they try to spread to everyone else around them and try to make it even worse. But anyway, the spin that hydroxychloroquine is dangerous and ineffective when it's proven effective by the data and has been on the WHO's most trusted drug list. I mean, that should make you go, interesting. So anyway, so why did they make it illegal to use these three therapeutic drugs in the United States when they have a proven effective record to combat this disease? Because it's illegal to even present an experimental drug on the general population if there is an effective therapeutic drug available. There is a Luciferian agenda of death, for one. Yeah. Plus, there is the cost of generic drugs at 7 cents per pill.
That's pretty cheap.
It is. Have the pharmacy companies made billions of dollars off these vaccines?
Multi-billion. Sure
yes,
have.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. Pfizer, $15 billion in 2021. Moderna, $18.4 billion. Johnson & Johnson, $10 billion. 75% of all TV advertising is by the pharmaceutical industry now. Pharma.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, gosh.
Three quarters of every commercial, all the advertising is pharmaceutical.
Yeah. I saw a video not too long ago.
They want to rule the world, buddy. Yeah.
Oh, they do. But I saw one not too long ago by my girl, probably Alexandria. You've seen some of her videos.
Excellent. Excellent researcher.
If y'all want to hear an excellent researcher, listen to probably Alexandria. She's awesome. She shows one on the newest. Oh, it's not the newest, but it's one of her newer videos. It's called Inconvenient History. She goes through about a, it almost gets annoying. She goes through about a 4 or 5 minute stretch. Nah, it's not that long. It's about a 3 minute stretch there where it shows commercial after commercial after commercial after commercial of them saying, brought to you by Pfizer, brought to you by Pfizer, brought to you by Pfizer. But it's telling you what it is beforehand. Like,
yeah, every like news tonight on show, everything from soap operas to.
Oh, but it's always the ones like, they'll do things like, Gloria Vanderbilt's son.
I have no idea.
Oh, you know his name. I can't think of it right now, but he's a big liberal CNN guy. I can't think of his name, but he's
the guy that's on there. Anderson Cooper?
Yeah, Anderson Cooper.
Okay.
But you know, stuff like that will say, tonight on Anderson Cooper, brought to you by Pfizer. You know, right. And it'll just keep on rolling with them. Pfizer, 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 Pfizer. I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, it just keeps on going. Right. But anyway, $6 billion on lobbying politicians in the last 20 years.
If you ever look at that on like a histogram, it's just everything else is dwarfed down into the bottom sector of the histogram, and then this huge bar shooting up above all else by, you know, 10 times above is the money that they're spending from Big Pharma on lobbying. What does that mean? They get laws passed in their favor. They espouse politicians. They basically own them. Those guys get themselves into complicated and compromising positions under video, making deals in back rooms and taking these trips, Epstein Island and all the rest. And they end up with, their lives now are their slaves. They're blackmailed, and they do whatever they do, the bidding of their wicked masters who paid their bill.
That's right. That's right.
So monoclonal antibodies, we'll jump to that. The Truth Source news stories have been circulating on the web, but they're being scrubbed. They're being removed as quickly as they can. Mm-hmm. But a scientist that discovering that COVID-19 is really not a virus at all, but rather synthesized proteins and peptides from snake venom, specifically the king cobra and the Chinese crake. Now, this sounds bizarre, but I want to just challenge you to hang in there and now go look for yourself.
Yes.
We'll point you in the right direction, okay? But I want you to check this out. Monoclonal antibodies was found to be completely effective in curing COVID. Mm-hmm. And so they made it illegal. I remember people were coming to Texas. Joe Biden right away jumped on that monoclonal antibodies is illegal. You can't use that to treat COVID.
Yep, I remember that too. Yep.
And so monoclonal antibodies is also known as antivenom, and it's a cure for venomous snake bites. So why would antivenom be so effective in fighting a virus unless it's really not a virus at all?
Right.
So there's a guy out there who put this out. His name is Dr. Brian Artis. He brings forth the research of another guy named Dr. Bing Liu, who was murdered just after he announced that he had breakthrough research as to the origins of COVID-19. He was found with two shots to the chest, and all of a sudden, all of his research was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But it resurfaced. He had another copy somewhere, got into the hands of Dr. Artis, and he brought it forth. He felt that it was his responsibility as a Christian before mankind to expose this wickedness for what it is.
Good for him.
And so I'd like you to try that. We'll look at Stu Peterson, watch a show called Watch the Water.
It's on Rumble, right?
It's on Rumble. Yeah. Or you can just go to stupeterson.com and watch the water is the name of the video. Watch it. Yep. Check it out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Repression of the knowledge of the natural remedies and vitamins that effectively boost your immune system. Vitamin D with K2. I'm not sure on this one.
Quercetin.
Yeah. Vitamin C, garlic, ginseng, cinnamon, and others all help you to be strong against the disease. Dr. Zelenko was a great source for the truth regarding the disease and effective.
Said Zelenko.
Yeah, Zelenko. And he was a great resource for the truth regarding the disease and the effective natural remedies to cure it and to prevent contracting it.
Yeah.
Dr. Zelenko, he's a Nobel Prize nominee and board certified physician in the U.S. He's the doctor that contacted President Trump about hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, and he was demonized ever yeah, since then.
Of course. He also invented an anti-COVID protocol called Z-Stack, designed to maximize your own body's immune system. He was considered top disinformation source by our current administration. Unfortunately, he has recently passed from a rare and aggressive cancer, but his website and Z-Stack products are still available. So,
amen. Dr. Zed Zelenko was an amazing and courageous individual who just brought the truth as he saw it fit. And, he stood up at great risk and peril to himself. And, a lot of these doctors are basically selling out. And it's just because, they've spent this time and this investment in their medical school. The Hippocratic Oath really has been thrown out. And, I saw today where they were even in Montreal giving these doctors a completely different oath that is ungodly, to say the least. And so we're going to actually wrap it for now. We've got a lot more information to cover, but this is one of those topics that we can't fit in and in 1 hour. So we're gonna come back and speak about the rest. There's some very interesting information to come. So I would ask you to come back and listen again.
Yeah, please do. And for the guys out there that are listening to us already, guys and girls, I didn't mean to just say guys, but guys and girls that are listening to us, we really appreciate y'all. We really do. Our base is growing. And that means that more people are listening, and that's a good thing. We want to get everything that we bring to y'all, we bring to you in love, and we bring to you, it's highly researched, and we pray over everything that we bring to you to make sure that what we're doing is what the Lord is wanting us to do. So, but again, we cannot stress enough that we would really encourage you to just not take our word for it. Go do your own research. Look into it yourself. All this stuff is out there and available, and we're going to start working on trying to get some resources out there to you and things like that so you can go look it up for yourselves. But anyway.
One of the common things I hear people say is that I'm just one small person. What can I do? And this is a grand scheme rolling out there. It's worldwide, and it's so overwhelming. And the deeper you dig in, the deeper the rabbit hole goes. And what can I do? Yeah. You can talk. You can pray. You can share this information with some other people. Pass it along. This should stimulate your heart. And if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, and you've been given this kind of information, and you're joining us on the Watchman's Wall.
That's right.
And we just want you to do your part, and so that other people don't have to suffer needlessly and die needlessly by falling for this lie. So let me pray for you, and then we started this message off with prayer, some prayer in the middle, and we're going to end with a prayer sandwich here.
Sounds good.
So thank you, Heavenly Father, again, for our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And for those who don't know you, I pray there'll be some things that provoke their thought, their mind, that prick their heart, that the Holy Spirit's pulling on heartstrings right now. And I pray that some people would come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus as Lord and into a relationship with you, even sensing the urgency of the time. And there is an urgency, Lord. There's something that's moving us and motivating us and firing us up with passion and fire and even righteous indignation not our own indignation, not our own righteousness, but because these people stand against God, they stand against everything holy, and they're forwarding a satanic agenda. And so, Father, we want to wake people up, and I pray that you open up minds and hearts to the truth of your word. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that it says in your word that greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world.
That's right.
And so that the devil might be winning this battle, but he's going to lose the war. He's already lost because Jesus Christ has won it. He shares this victory with us. He rose victorious with the keys of death and hell, and he's alive and living forevermore. And I'm a living witness of his greatness and his miracles. Lord, I came from absolutely nothing, and you rekindled my mind, and you gave me a beautiful wife and children and ability to assimilate information and to speak what you want me to speak. And so we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory for that. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, that's the end of it for tonight. And join us back for part two of And You Shall Know the Truth. And we'll give you some more information.
Ambassadors in chains, y'all.
That's right.